We need to continue where we left off. Yesterday we were discussing doing chavish with an animal, but before we really get into that discussion, we really need to understand that there are three principles at work here. Okay? There's the mitzvah of shvisas behemta. I think it's a say. That's the mitzvah that says in that pasuk of the man yanu al sharcha, pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. That's a mitzvah asay. And we had a machlokas that we showed him with regards to that mitzvah asay. When does it apply? And it was 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, not 2 days, 2 sifim, one right next to each other. And it seems like it's a contradiction, and I have no yishuv other than to say that there's a machlokas harishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch quoted both. One opinion is that this mitzvah asay of shvisas behemto applies even if it's unbeknownst to me. My animal is doing malacha, not that that itself is its relaxation. If it's eating out of the ground, that's the way the animal eats, that's fine. But if it does an extraneous malacha, I don't know, it's doing chotzah, that's my problem. Even though the animal is unbeknownst to me, it's in the rishus, someone else is watching it for me and it's doing a malacha, that's my problem. That's one opinion, and that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. And then there's another opinion, which is also quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The problem is, it seems to be a machlokes. But the other opinion is that no, it's only if it's relay, I know about it. Meaning, the way we explained it is, that it's not my obligation to see to it that the animal rests on Shabbos, but it's my obligation to rest, and therefore the animal has to rest as part of my obligation to rest. I'm not allowed to have a malacha done with my knowledge on behalf of me, even when it's done by an animal. So shvisas behemto is not so much about the animal resting, it's about me resting and the animal as it relates to me. So that's the two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. What is the mitzvah of shvisas behemto? One is that the animal has to rest. One is that the animal has, my rest involves the animal resting. But if the animal does a malacha that I don't know about, it's in a shepherd is watching it, it does a malacha while I'm not even aware of it, that's not my problem. Shvisas behemto means that I have to rest, and by virtue of that, the animal has to rest as it relates to me. That's the two opinions about shvisas behemto. Just to explain that second position, we gave a mashal, or not a mashal, but a similar halacha from a shvisas katan. Because the Gemara says later on, Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, that if there's a fire in the house, and no, it's not going to spread to another home. There's a fire in this guy's house. So if a nachri decides to put out the fire on his own, that's fine. You don't have to tell him to put it out. I don't have to tell him not to put it out. The Nachri decides to put out the fire on his own, that's fine. So we said, by the way, parenthetically, a Nachri decides to turn on a light for me in a room, that's not fine. That's not fine. That's not okay. So to look at Tosos, Kuf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, Diver Maschel Ve'im, Diver Maschel Ve'im, there the Mishnah says, Kuf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, Nachri Shehidlik Es Haner. If a Nachri lights a candle for himself, Mishtamish La'ori Yisrael, a Yisrael can use the candle. But Ve'im Bishvil Yisrael, if a Nachri lights a candle for a Jew, also you're not allowed to benefit from it. You're not allowed to benefit from a candle that the Nachri lights for me. So look at Tosfos Ve'im. He asks, why is this different than that he prevents the house from burning down? There I'm allowed to benefit. Why is it different than if he prevents the house from burning down all by himself, that it's fine? So Kuf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, Divrei Maaseh Ve'im, writes Tosfos, the last word on the line is V'loi, maybe about 10 lines before the bottom. V'loi Dami, V'loi is the last word on the line, Dami is the first word. V'loi Dami, L'hoda Amar Le'el, Nachri Shabal L'chaba, Zein Omer Lo Kabei V'al Tichbeh. A Nachri comes to put out a fire, you don't tell him, put it out, you don't tell him, don't put it out. Nonetheless, it's mutter. If a Nachri decides to put out the fire on his own, it's fine. How come when a Nachri decides to light a candle for me, even though I didn't ask him for it, I'm not allowed to benefit from it? It's not similar. Why? V'hacha aser, by the candle, it's aser k'sha'esh l'bisvil Yisrael, when he does it for a Jew. D'chi amrinon, because when we say the Nachri adaita d'nav sheka'ov, and when we say that the Nachri is doing it all on his own, hani mili b'kiboy, that's only if he's putting something out. V'chayotebo. A Nachri puts out a light. He didn't create the darkness. We were discussing this in Seder. He didn't create this of a chakira the Rugged Shofar has. He didn't create darkness. You don't create darkness. He got rid of the light. So when I benefit from the darkness, I'm not benefiting that now I can sleep in the room because the Nachri put it out. So I'm not benefiting from the what the Nachri did. The darkness was there the whole time. The light is the Chiddush. So the Nachri puts out the light. I'm benefiting from the fact that it's dark. That's not, I'm benefiting from what the Nachri did. When the Nachri prevents my house from burning down, so am I benefiting from the house that the Nachri built? No, I'm benefiting from the fact that he put out a fire. So, but that the house is not the object of putting out a fire. I'm not benefiting from what that which the Nachri did. He put out the fire. Now I can benefit from my house that the contractor built. So I'm not benefiting from that which the Nachri did. Hani mili bekibu v'chayotze bo, she'en Yisrael nene b'maisa Nachri, the Yisrael not being nene from that which the Nachri did. Abo hocha sheguf Yisrael nene b'maisa Nachri, here by the light, the Jew is benefiting from that which the Nachri did. Lawyer meaning that died to the object of it. We don't say that the Nachri is doing his own cheshbin, and if he does it for you, you're not allowed to benefit from it, okay? So the Mishnah says, the Nachri puts out a fire, ooh, that's fine. He wants to put it out all by himself? Fine. You can benefit. And suppose they can, the way you can't benefit from it. Yeah?
Are you like, is the Nachri allowed to sign to the Tzibor? Because like, someone's in a shul, let's say, they'll raise the air, lower the air.
So we are making on these of Amir and Nachri if it's a very important mitzvah, like Mila. Or, the Mishnah Berurah says, if it's a mitzvah to rob him, everybody needs him. But if you want the air conditioning on in your home, you can't ask enough. Shul is a mitzvah to rob him. If you're having a board meeting, you can't ask enough for you to turn on.
If the shul is cold or hot or whatever it was.
So I'm going to make a breakaway minion outside. Then you have a basement minion next door where there's air conditioning. You don't want that. Yeah.
Yeah, but if a boy turns on your AC at home, since it's only
the
Rabbanon, if we don't
dominate anything. We're Machmer and Amir and Achri even under
Rabbanon. But if it's Tsar in the house?
Ooh, now you're talking about coolest. Okay, there are sometimes coolest. Sometimes coolest. Sometimes not. Yeah. Yeah.
If an Achri is eating in the room,
right,
can they turn on the light and then you
benefit? An Achri wants the light on for himself. Then I can benefit from the light. Ner le'echad, ner le'meah. A candle is for one, is for 100. It's the same candle.
But that's not the case if a Jew turns on the light.
A Jew turns on the light, every Jew is also to prohibit, they were to benefit from it. Yes, that's right. But if the Nachri turns on the light for himself, I can benefit from the light. Problem is, if he turns it on for a Jew, then you have a problem. Okay, so the Nachri comes here to put out the fire. So that's fine, because he's just putting out the fire. I'm not benefiting from that which he did, so it's allowed. But if a Katan wants to put out the fire, we don't let him do it. So the Gemara says, because he's Oisal Das Aviv, he does that which his father wants. Meaning that the Katan, I don't care if the Katan, let's say there's a little Katan, doesn't know what the father wants. He's playing with this little Muktzah toy. Everything on Shabbos by little kids, by the way, is called Muktzah. It could be a Malacha Deiraisa. It's Muktzah. Everything is Muktzah. That's what they call it. So the little Katan's playing with his musical fire truck. So it looks bad for the family. The Katan's be walking around with a musical fire truck on Shabbos. But the Mice is not a problem, because the Katan, if when the child reaches the age of Chinuch, so then it's a problem of Chinuch. But it's not a problem of Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't apply to little children. And if he's less than the age of Chinuch, so Chinuch might not even apply. It might look bad, a separate issue. It might be Chinuch for the other children, which is also an important issue. But the Mice, it's not a problem of Shabbos. But if the child knows that the father wants the light on, and then the child goes, and he's at age where he recognizes he wants the light on. Not only is it a problem of chinuch, it's a problem of Shabbos. Because the child is doing a malach on behalf of the father. And that's a problem of the shvis of the father. Why? Because the shvis of the father involves that even the child shouldn't do a malacha with his knowledge for his benefit. That's the pasuk that we saw, that you have to rest on Shabbos. It goes, Sazakom malacha ato vincho vitecha. And Rashi said they shouldn't do a malacha where you they have you in mind. But if you have a little child likes to play with the lights. So you let a kid play in the room, and he decides to flip on the light, off the light, on the light, off the light. Doesn't know whether you want it on or you don't want it on. It might be a problem of chinuch if he's at that age with his chinuch, but it's not a problem of Shabbos. To hold up the child next to the light, like this, you know, sometimes there's a light on, so you just hold the child, and he's like waving like this, you know, and then he turns off the light. That's a problem because you're participating. You're holding the child up. You're also participating here. Let's say you're participating in the action. That might be a problem in its own right because you're a participant. If I put the kid in the room and the kid vacles around and he walks around and he hits the light, on the light, on the light, so that might not be a problem at all. But to hold the kid there is no good. Anyway, So this is the same kind of halacha, shvisis behemto perhaps, that I have to rest on Shabbos. My rest on Shabbos involves that the child shouldn't do a malacha on my behalf. So too, the animal perhaps can't do a malacha on my behalf because that infringes on my shvisa. That's one opinion what shvisis behemto is about. Then there's another opinion, though, that it's not similar to shvisis katan, that it's only if the child knows that I enjoy it or that I want the light off or I want the light on. No. Shvisis behemto, there's one opinion, is that any malacha that the animal does, whether I know about it or I don't know about it, that's a problem because I have to see to it that I rest on Shabbos and that my animals rest. Not by virtue of my own rest, not by virtue of my own shvisa, but independently I have to make sure that the animals rest. Okay? That's the first part here. Shvisis behema, what is it about? But it's a mitzvah to say shvisis behema. We okay about shvisis behema, Rabbi Zayn? We're all right.
So what was the second?
There's two opinions what it means. Does it mean that I have to rest, and by virtue of that, my animal has to rest? But then it will only be a malacha that affects me or I know about. Not a malacha I'm totally unaware of. Or perhaps shvisis behema means that I have to see to it that my animals rest. Independently, nothing to do with my shvisa. In which case it will be, even if I don't know about it. Even if I don't know about it. That was one opinion, the Gemara. Yeah.
So with
Remember, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah thought that perhaps you're not allowed to sell an animal to a Nachri or lend an animal to a Nachri because he's going to do malacha with it on Shabbos. I don't know about it, never heard about it. I don't know what he's doing with the animals. But that might be a problem. Because I might have to independently see that my animals rest on Shabbos. And the other opinion, it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, two opinions right next to each other.
He's not your animal.
Oh, so that's what the Gemara ends up saying. He's not your animal anymore. But before the Gemara got to that point... But even before the Gemara got there, the Gemara thought She'ela and Schira should all be Yasur because it's my animal. And then the Gemara says, no, it's not your animal, like we saw yesterday. But until we got to that point, there would have been a problem. Yeah.
Can you just repeat? The one is the mitzvah that I have to make sure that they're at resting, and what was the other one?
Either I have to rest, and that affects, and that includes my animals resting as it relates to me, or I, just like I have to rest, I have to see to whether my animals independently rest.
So, according to the second one, if you just attached a plow to an animal before Shabbos and just left it to go and do whatever, walk around your fields, technically it would be plowing your field. So
I would say you're aware of it then. That's a game. That's a charade.
Right, but you're not. But you're... Your animals are resting, but you're not seeing to it that they're resting, but they technically...
Well, the animal's not going to stand in one spot, so...
Right, but you attached it before Shabbos, and you really...
Yeah.
You had to make sure that it was resting.
That's a problem that he's doing a malacha for you, like a child is doing a malacha for you, knowing that you're happy about it. So to hear your animal's doing a malacha for you on
but
your behalf.
The animal doesn't know anything.
Animals don't know that much. We don't care what the animal knows. This is not a mitzvah on the animal. Animals don't have mitzvahs.
So it's definitely
on you. The question is it on you because it relates to your shvisa? The question is it on you because you have to independently see that your animals rest? But it's clearly on you. The animal doesn't have a mitzvah.
What does that mean as it relates to my shvisa?
If I'm unaware, I leave my animals in Hawaii, do I have to make sure that they're resting on Shabbos or not? So, according to one opinion, yes. You have to make sure that your animals are resting wherever they are. The other opinion is, no, as it relates to you, you can't have your animals doing malacha because that disturbs your shvisa. But if it doesn't disturb your shvisa, he's in the kennel. I don't know what he's doing in the kennel. I don't care.
Okay, so I'm saying if you attach the plow to it...
I think that's a charade. It's a bad example. If you would come up with a better example, we could discuss it.
Like what? Because you know it's...
It's a joke, yeah. Okay? So that's one part here. There's another halacha here. Okay? All of these are coming into play in one Rambam. Then there's Mechamer. Mechamer is based on the pasuk of Losase Kol Malacha Ato Uvehemtecha. How do you do a malacha together with your animal? That is Mechamer. Mechamer means any malacha that you do together with the animal. I encourage the animal to walk and it's carrying a package outside, it's doing Hotzah, that's Mechamer. So the Gemara said later on, which we saw at length yesterday, that there's no chatos and skila for mechamer. Why not? Because in order to get chatos and skila, you have to do an action. Here you're just speaking. Chatos and skila have to involve an action on your part. Here you're encouraging the animal. So this is only, there's no chatos and skila, it's only alav. You'll say, alav, Shabbos is chatos and skila. Yes. One exception, or perhaps there's another exception too, but one at least is Mechamer. you do a malacha together with the animal, you encourage the animal to do a malacha, that's a lav. It's just a lo sase.
Why is it mechamer asheret? Like, if you know it's going to do the malacha.
I do.
I'm saying, so why is...
It's a problem of shisas behemto also. It is. It's more than that, though. It's not just a mitzvah sase. If I do it in conjunction with the animal, not only is it a mitzvah sase, guess what? It's also a lav. Not chatas and skila. Not one of the Lamentes Avos Malachos, even though he's doing one of the Lamentes Avos Malachos, he's doing Hotzah, there's no Chadas and Skila, it's just a Lav. In theory, there should have been Malchus for this Lav. But the Gemara says there's no Malchus for this Lav because it is a Lav Hanitein Lazharas Misas Bezdin. That means the following, at least according to Rashi. What that means, according to Rashi, is that included within this pasuk of Lo Sase Kol Malacha, within Lo Sase Kol Malacha, is not only Mechamer, but it's also all the Lamentes Malachos are Merumas in this pasuk, Lo Sase Kol Malacha. So there's an umbrella here. What this means is it's an umbrella. An umbrella Isur, which includes within the big tent, that's a PC term. So within our big tent of the Sase Kol Malacha, we have Mechamer, but we also have the Lamentes Malachos. And since within this big tent, there's something that is Misas Bezdin, so you can't get Malchus for the Mechamer either. So okay, it's an umbrella, big tent. CJF. That's the problem with Lav Shemisei and Lansaris Misas Bezdin, okay? So in theory, there's no chatas and skila because you didn't do an action. You just talk to the animal. You can't get chatas and skila for that. It has to be an action, the Gemara says. And there's no malchus because it's not a lav hanit. It's a lav hanit in the Azharis Misas Bezin, which means any lav that includes within its pasuk a larger umbrella, which has the lav of something that has Misas Bezin, like the lav of Tesavis Malachos, you can't get malchus. That's mechamer. We are right with everybody saying. It's complicated mechamer. But that's what it is. There's no chadas and skill because you didn't do an action. There's no malchus. There's a lav anything on Sos Misas Bezdin. Then there is a third part here, and that is charisha bebehema. If you do plowing with a behema, then you get chadas v'skila. It's one of the lamentas of his malachas. That's an av malacha. Okay? And the question will be, the question that the Afikayam asked is the following. The Afikayam asks, why is Charisha Bebehema will probably also be a problem of Shvises Behemto, for sure. But the problem is, why is it more than the Lav of Mechamer? You're doing a Malacha together with the animal. You're not plowing. You're sitting on top of the animal, probably, but you're not plowing physically. You're plowing together with the animal. So why is this chatas and skila? Why is this different than mechamer, which is only a lav? Why is charisha mibehema chatas and skila? That was the Afikayam's question. That's what we began yesterday. Why should this be chatas and skila, and this is only a lav? Or why should this just be a lav of mechamer? What's the difference between B and C? Okay, that was Afikayam's question. So Afikayam said that there's two deos here. There's a big machlokes that we've shown him what the answer to this is. The first opinion is that of the Rambam. Turn to the Rambam. Let's look at it again. Yeah.
As Rachel of the Gemara in Makkah that talked about this one,
You see that it's an Av Malacha.
Yeah, but it refers to it just for Yom Tov.
Just for Yom Tov. We assume the same would be Shabbos. It's obvious. And you want to start arguing that plowing with an animal is not one of the Lamentes Avos Malachas, you're going to have a difficult time. Plowing with an animal is pretty regular. So the Rambam, when he starts out, Perakav Halacha Aleph, you have to understand where he's coming from. He's aware of all of these three principles, and he says, if you do a malacha, meaning you carry something outside, in a Rishus HaRabim, on top of an animal, what do you violate? Rabbi said, if we were to think for ourselves, I know it's difficult, but if we were to think for ourselves, you have an animal carry something outside, what is it violating? Is it Shvises Behemto? You encourage your animal to carry something outside. Is it a problem with Shvises Behemta?
Yes.
Yeah, according to either approach, it's a problem with Shvises Behemta. Is it a problem with Mechamer?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay? So what is the halacha? Writes the Rambam, Perichof, halacha aleph. Also, lohoitzi masal habehema b'shabbos. You're not allowed to do hotzah on top of an animal on Shabbos. Shenemar, The pasuk of Shisa is behemtai. L'man yanuach sharach v'chamarach v'chol behemtecha. Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim. Number one is the problem of Shisa's behemtai. Echad shar v'chamar v'echad kol behema chai v'yoif. It doesn't matter what type of animal. Vim haitzi ala behema. If you did this, you did haitza on top of behema, aval pishu mitzuva al shvisasa, meaning even though it's a problem of Shisa's behemtai, ain't like it. You don't get malchus. It's really a mitzvah asay. From the mitzvah asay, I can derive things that you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to do a malacha with your animal, but fundamentally it's a mitzvah asay. So you can't get malchus for this. There's no malchus for this. That's the first part of the Rambam. He says you can't get malchus for Shisa's behemtai. Now he moves on. Okay? Ein olaka fishisur b'mechal asay. Lefichach, says the Rambam, ha-mechamer achar behemtai b'shabbos. If you do mechamer, meaning you do any malacha together with the animal, or you're encouraging the animal to walk, v'haya olav masoi potur, and it has something on top of it, you're potur. No malchus. I'm sorry. Now he moves to mechamer. Oh, but what about the lav of mechamer? V'haloi lav mefurish b'teira. But there is a lav in the Torah. Shnei gosasa kol malacha atovin chovitecha v'avduchav amosav mimtecha. So he's asking, why can't you get malchus for doing chotzah on top of an animal by virtue of mechamer? At least get malchus because of mechamer, that lav. It's not a mitzvah say. So he says, no, that also not. That pasuk includes that you shouldn't do charisha with an animal. That lav includes charisha with an animal, and therefore there's no malchus because the lav hanitim as haras misas bezin. What the Rambam said is something very different than Rashi. The Rambam is saying this lav expresses itself in two ways. Sometimes it's a lav, sometimes it's chatas and skira. Meaning before this pasuk, what would have existed if we could think like this? It's a hard way to think. But what would have existed if this pasuk had never been said? So the Rambam, it would have only been a mitzvah saseh. But what would I have said about a malacha that I do in conjunction with an animal? Charisha with an animal. What would I have said? So the Rambam tells you, if there had been no lav of mechamer, I never would have said charisha with an animal was chatas and skila. But now that I have the lav of mechamer, sometimes you do hotzah with an animal, that'll be a lav. But if you do charisha with an animal, that'll not be chatas and skila. But that's all predicated based on this lav of losasa kol malacha. Meaning the Rambam understood lav hanitin as harzbi says based in very differently than Rashi. The Rambam understood that what it means is that losasa kol malacha, the same lav, not a big umbrella, but the same lav is sometimes chatas and skila. This pasuk teaches us, losasa kol malacha, that an animal, a malacha that you do with an animal, is significant. How significant? Sometimes it'll be allowed. If I just encourage the animal, it'll be allowed. If I actually plow with the animal, it'll be chatas and skira. But they're both derived from losasa kol malacha. What this tells you is that a malacha that you do together with an animal is significant. How significant depends how involved you are. Here, you're minimally involved. You're encouraging the animal to walk. That's a lav. Here, you're heavily involved. You're plowing with the animal, so it's chatas and skila. But they're both derived from here. That's what lav hanitin as haras misas beizin means. They are both derived, chatas and skila. And the lav are both derived from the pasuk of losasa kol malacha. What this tells you is
fundamentally, it's an
asay. That, no. Shisa's behemto, that's an asay. No malchus for that. That's a separate pasuk. Laman yanu al sharfa. This is the lav of mechamer. Says the Rambam, that's what charisha from behemah is derived from. What this tells you is that something that you do together with an animal is significant. I would have said before this pasuk, you do something with an animal, it's not significant. The Rambam tells you from here, we derive that it is significant. How significant? That depends on how involved you are. If you're heavily involved, it could be chatas and skila. You're minimally involved, it could be a lav. So the answer to the Fikayam's question for the Rambam is that they're one and the same. Machamer, the Mafika Yamas, why is Chavisha Behem, Machatas and Skila, Machamer alav? The answer is they're really the same thing. Here you're more involved, here you're less involved. They're both learned out of this pasuk, says the Rambam. That's why it's alav hanitein la tzaras misas bezin, which means for the Rambam not that they're both under the same umbrella, but that the same lav sometimes takes two forms. Sometimes it's a lav, sometimes it's chatas and skila. That's what he tells you. That's what the Rambam says in Halacha Beis, there's no malchus, because included within this lav is charisha with an animal. Oh, so then the answer to the Afike Yam's question is, why is charisha with an animal, chatas and skila, not a lav? The answer is, because here you're more involved and here you're less involved. But they're both included within this gzeres hakasav of osasakom malacha atu bemtecha. What that tells you is the malacha that you do together with the animal is significant. If you're minimally involved, it's a lav. If you're heavily involved, it's chatas and skila. So the answer really is, it depends how involved you are. That's the difference between mechamer and charisha bebehema. But for the Rambam, it's all predicated upon gzeres hakasav of osasakom malacha atu bemtecha.
There's different ways you can violate that avera.
Yes. I couldn't have said it better myself.
No,
I could say that. Exactly. Yes. Excellent. Okay, that's the Rambam. But for the Rambam, they're really included in the same pasuk. So the answer to the Afike Yam's question is, why is Shvisa Charisha Bebehem Achatas and Skil Machamer only alav? The answer is they're really the same, Yisur. They're based on the same pasuk. Just depends how involved you are.
Can you give an example of light being involved lightly?
I encourage the animal to walk
and
carry it outside. Heavily is plowing with the animal. It's very different. Very different. The Ramban says something which is similar, but very different conceptually. Look at the Ramban, turn the page. In the Ramban, he says something very different. I mean, similar, but it has an important difference which we need to explain. The Ramban says, El shumikom mokom tzarech tam bedavar. Sharei hacharish bibehema atu bimhemtecha. Who can mechamer? Why is charisha with an animal? Chatas and skila mechamer is only a rav. She charisha bekayach habehema hinasa. What's really plowing here is the animal, not you. Okay, now the Ramban says a big chiddush. V'nomar bazeh she mipnei she charish behema who knows and alea ol v'koy veshoso tachas yado. You put on the yoke. You press on top of the animal. Uvershuso hi omedes kol hamalacha al shem ha'adam hi. The whole malacha really is attributed to you. Meaning the Ramban is saying this is not a gzeres hakasuv, that if you do a malacha together with an animal, you're chayev. This is not included in the gzeres hakasuv of mechamer. This is obvious. It's a svara. If you employ an animal to do a malacha for you, it's no different than doing a malacha with any utensil. Let's say I light a fire with one of those electric starters. What do they call it? You know, for the gas grills. You know, those grills you have, press a button and a fire pops out. That's mavir. I didn't hit two stones together or something. Doesn't make a difference. You employed this little contraption to do a malacha for you. Any malacha that you do that involves a machine. Everyone, we all understand that that's called a malacha. I flip a switch. I'm not lighting a fire. Yeah, but I flip a switch, the light bulb turns on. Inside the light bulb is a glowing piece of filament. Not these light bulbs, because we're too green. But if you have a light bulb that has a filament inside, that's a glowing filament. That's a fire on Shabbos. I didn't light a fire, but I employed this to be my... this is like a utensil in my hand that through which I did a malacha. So too says the Ramban, an animal is no different than any other power in the world that you will harness for yourself to do a malacha. So it's not because of Xeris HaKasav that if you do a malacha together with an animal, it's significant, and then it depends how involved you are. Sometimes it's a lav, sometimes it's a chatas and skila. No, we don't need a pasuk to tell us that if you do a malacha together with an animal that you're chayiv, sometimes then it depends how involved you are. No. This is fundamentally different than mechamer. Mechamer, you didn't do the malacha at all. I'm encouraging the animal like a coach. You know, go. That's Xeris HaKasav. And that's a lav. Here, says the Ramban, you are plowing! How are you plowing? With an animal. But you are plowing. That's very different. That's not Xeris HaKasav that if you do a malacha with an animal, it's significant. No. You are doing the malacha, not the animal. Everyone hear the difference? It's a big difference. What will be the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban? I'll tell you what I think the difference is. The difference might be, let's say I harness a different power in the world. Mm-hmm. I do a malacha through the use of wind. to the use of some other power in the world that I harness on my behalf to do a melacha. So would you say you're chayev or you're potter on Shabbos? For the Ramban, you are doing melacha. Any power that you harness to do a melacha on your behalf, you're chayev. Just like Chavisha Bebehema. The Ramban understands, isn't that included in the law of Mechamer? No, they're not the same thing. It's not a Xeris HaKosev that you're chayev here. This is you doing the melacha, just you harness the power of the animal. But you're doing it. Yes, you're doing it by virtue of you're using an animal to do it, but that's okay, you're chayev. The Rambam says, no, this is all included in the Xeris HaKosev of Mosaz HaKol Melacha, that if you do an animal melacha with an animal, you're chayev, and it depends how involved you are. Okay, so the answer to Fika Yam's question will have a greater relevance. And that is, according to the Rambam, this is really part of the Xeris HaKosev, Vosas HaKol Melacha Atu B'Mtecha, that if you do an melacha together with an animal, you're chayev. So but it's different than the Lava Mechamer because it depends how involved you are. How involved are you? Sometimes it'll be sometimes it'll be chadis and skila. But you need the Xeris HaKosev of Losatz Gemalach to tell you if you do something with an animal, it's significant. The Ramban says no. The Ramban says Chavisha Behema is very different than Mechamer. Here, you are doing the malacha with the animal, but it's you who's doing the malacha, not the animal. Shemnei Shacharit Behema, it's as if you're doing it. Koha malacha al shem ha'adam hi.
The animal is plowing?
The animal is plowing.
But
he's no different
than, let's say,
a utensil in your hand. So whereas Mechamer, I'm encouraging the animal to go. That's one idea. That you need a Xeris HaKosev for, says the Rambam. But if I'm using the animal to do a malacha, I don't need a Xeris HaKosev. That's a svara. He's no different than if I flip a switch and a malacha happens. The Rambam says no. Harnessing and doing malacha together with an animal is part of this Xeris HaKosev. It depends how involved you are. Sometimes it's a lob, sometimes it's chatas and skila. The Ramban says no, this is fundamentally different than B. C and B are fundamentally different. B, the animal is doing the malacha, I'm participating.
By encouraging
him to go. Here, I'm doing the malacha. That's fair.
So the animal has its own independence in B, according to Ramban?
In B, yes. All I'm doing is talking to the animal. I mean, I'm not plowing with the animal. Here, I'm using the animal to plow. I'm sitting on top of him, I'm whipping him proudly, and I'm telling him to go. Okay, so you don't need Xeris HaKosev or Losazik or Malacha to teach you to do something in conjunction with an animal. You're chayav. That's pashut. The Rambam says it's not pashut at all. It's included in the same one. That's why it's a lav. Anything that's hardly says based. And sometimes this lav is a lav. Sometimes it's conscious and skill. It depends how involved you are. The Rambam says, no, what are you talking about? This is you.
So what,
whereas here, it's the animal.
What pasuk is Ramban?
This is a svara. It's obvious. If you do malacha together with an animal, it's so much so that you're employing him to do a malacha, you're the one doing the malacha. We don't need a pasuk for that.
That's the Ramban?
That's the Ramban. Oh. Yes.
Well,
if you know the animal's going to end up doing the malacha, how are you getting away with this? Even if you're just standing there, like if you know...
It's Shvises Behemtoi. You have to go beyond that. This is all a problem with Shvises Behemtoi. But it's worse than that. So we moved beyond Shvises Behemtoi.
So what if you, let's say, if you use a carrier pigeon, you know it's going to carry the thing to you, you're just setting it out of its box with the letter.
That's probably Mechamer.
You're not really doing it.
I'm not riding on the pigeon.
Right, but you know it's going to go. Like this.
Yeah, so Shvises Behemtoi, a problem, and it's also a problem of Mechamer. But it's not Charisha, it's different, less involved. Yeah.
Now, according to the Ramban, he separates Mechamer from an Isser, Skila, and Chatas. Would you be high of Malchus?
No, he'll go with Rashi, that the reason why there's no Malchus for Mechamer is because it's in the same umbrella as the Lav Mitesav as Malachos. Doesn't mean that the same Lav could sometimes express itself as a Lav, sometimes it's Chatas and Skila. There's no Malchus because of the umbrella approach.
So what's the difference between the Rashi and the Ramban?
Nothing. Rashi's just explaining this Gemara, why it's a Lav anything that serves me says Basin. From the fact that the Rambam interprets it different than Rashi, we can derive what the Rambam held over here too. But it doesn't. I don't know what the Ramban would hold about this lav. He'd probably have to hold that Rashi, which is the pashup shot. That it means under the same umbrella, you have chatas and skila. So whenever you have two bedfellows, one is chatas and skila, one is a lav, there's no malchus for the lav.
Right.
The Rambam is one with a neat, unique explanation that the same lav itself, depending on how involved you are, can sometimes be chatas and skila, sometimes a lav. But everyone agrees that there's no malchus or chatas and skila from a chamer. Everyone agrees that. Like Mar said, to lav anything on Sarsmi says bezin. The question is, what does that mean? Okay?
Good.
So I believe that the fundamental point of dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban is this idea. What if I employ another koyach acher, another power in the world, in order to do a malacha for me? This is related to this Gemara in Bava Kamma. You'll say, how is it related to Gemara Bava Kamma? I'll show you. Okay, look at the Gemara Bava Kamma. Itmar, Chav Beit Med Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Isha Mishum Chetzion. My fire, there are four Dawid Ovis Nezikim. One of them is your animals, which means if my animal does damage, I'm liable to pay for the damages. Now there's another halacha of Adum Hamazik. If I do damage, I'm obligated to pay for the damages. I say, I smash my car into your car. That's Adum Hamazik. Okay, I have to pay for the damages. If my animal roams out of my field, I didn't watch it properly, and it destroys your backyard, your swing set, I'm obligated to pay for damages because it's my mammon. I should have watched it. That's not me doing it. That's my mammon. And I'm obligated to pay, I'm liable for that. What is the halakha of a fire that you light, the Gemara says? Is that like you doing it? Is that like I drove my car into your house, I lit a fire and it burned down your house, so I'm chayev? Or is that like, that's Isha Mishum Chetzioi, Isha Mishum Chitzov. It's my arrow, like I took my car and I drove it into your house. No, it's like your animal. You didn't watch your animal properly, went out and damaged someone else's property. I'm obligated to pay. So too my fire. If I light a fire, that's like my animal that I should have watched. I didn't watch it, and now it goes into damages. My time, Reish Lakish, my time of the Omek Rabbi Yochanan. Why does Reish Lakish not say that Rabbi Yochanan? Amalacha. Reish Lakish says, I'll say to you, Chitzav Mikoycha Ka'azli. If I shoot a bullet, or I shoot an arrow that goes because of my force, fire, Ha'ilo Mikoycha Ka'azli. Fire moves because of wind, or because of whatever, whatever is ignitable. So it moves for a separate reason. That's not you, that's like a shor, that's like an animal that I have to watch, moves on its own. Rabbi Yochanan, my time, I'm a Reish Lakish. Why is Rabbi Yochanan not say Reish Lakish? Amalachai says to Reish Lakish, Memoine is be mamasha. My animal is a tangible thing that goes on its own. Hi, let's be mamasha. Fire doesn't go on its own, it's not a tangible thing. So, this can't be something that you're obligated to watch. It's a fire. Fire is not your mammon. It can't be your items damaged. An animal is your item that damaged. Here, this is not your item. It's not an item at all. So it must be, it's an extension of you. There's no other place we can pin responsibility on other than you. If there's an animal, we can pin responsibility onto the animal, and then you're liable to watch the animal, so it's your responsibility. But here, there's nothing else to pin the responsibility on except you, because the fire doesn't really exist. There's nothing there. It's not tangible. Okay, that's the machlokas. What is the nature of fire? Is fire your, is like an extension of you, like your action, or is it like your mammon, like your animal that you are obligated to watch and to guard? So the Gemara has a proof in the middle of this whole discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which is relevant. Tashma. Who the Gemara wants to know, who do we pass it like? Rabbi Yochanan or like Reish Lakish? The Gemara says, Tashma. Hamalei segedish. You lit bundles. Picture a barn. V'haygedi kofasloi. There was a goat that was tied to the gedish. V'eved samachloi. And there's an eved that's next to it. Okay, here, this guy's obviously a little bit of pyromaniac. So he lit this bundle. There's a gedi that's tied to it and eved that's next to it. V'nisraf imay chayev. Everybody gets burned over here. What is he obligated? V'nisraf imay chayev. He's obligated to pay for the goat. The eved, you're not a murderer, because the eved is a tipish. He should have run away. Because he's standing there watching the fire. Then all he got caught in it. That's his fault. But the gedi I have to pay for. Now, does that like Rabbi Yochanan Shaul or Reish Lakish? That's like both. Either way, you're going to have to pay. Whether I did it, it's like I crashed my car into your car. Whether I did it or my animal did it, I'm obligated to pay. Now, the proof is from the second case. Let's say you have a Gedish. Eved kofes loy, v'gedi samach loy. You have an Eved that's tied to it, and a Gedi that's next to it. V'nisraf imay potter. Everything gets burned over here. So then you're potter on the Gedi. Why you putter on the Gedi? You burned it. And the Gedi is not smart enough to run away. So why are you putter? So Gemara says, Bish Lama Lamandi Yom Eish Mishim Chitzov. If you hold Eish Mishim Chitzov, it's like you killed the Eved. That's Kim Leib in the Ramina. You're a murderer. If you do one action that has two results, one results in a Chiyuv Misa, one results in a Chiyuv Mamon, you're putter from the Mamon because of the Misa. Here you're a murderer, you killed the Eved. That trumps the chiyuv mamon of the gedi, so it's kimay b'deramine your potter. Iu kata umad yomer eishem mishum chitza mishum haki potter. And umad yomer eishem mishum b'moinai. But if you say your fire is like your mamon, like your animal, what's the halach of an animal gores an eved? Anybody know halach of an animal gores an eved?
3 times.
You have to pay 30 shkalim. 30 shkalim. You have to pay 30 shkalim. So you did one action, you didn't watch your animal, that resulted in two things, but they're both monetary. Pay 30 shkalim for the Eved, you have to pay for the Gedi. Okay, that's fine, you pay for both, pay up. Am I potter? So why are you potter on the Gedi? If your animal, your tar, your ox, your shor, gored an Eved, of course you'd be chayev. 30 shkalim. So Ish Lakish is forced to say, you didn't light a fire over here that then came over here and burned up the Gedish. He lit the Eved on fire. That's different. That's different. That's a murder. Lekuliyama. You just murdered him by fire. But if I lit the fire over here, then the fire comes over here and burns up the Eved. That's the machlekes with the Eishim Mishum Chitz of Eishim Mishum Mimayim.
The Eved tied up?
Yeah. You tied him up and burned him at the stake. That's murder lekuliyam.
No, I'm talking about the case where you said the Eved's here and the fire starts. Oh, if the fire,
that's the machlokes, is that murder?
Is the Eved tied up here?
Yeah.
And can he escape or can he not escape?
Oh, he's tied up. That's the whole point.
That's the whole point of being
tied up.
Tied up.
Nope.
Okay, what's the significance of being tied up? He's tied up, and he can't get out. And then you light a fire and he gets killed. So are you a murderer or not? What's an afkamina? Will you say kimle b'diramina to pater you on paying for the goat that got burned in the same fire?
And then a piece of murder.
So if it's isha mishum chitzav, so then you'd be pater. If it's isha mishum emaynoi, then you would be chayev. Okay, that's that gemara. However, I hand it out to you.
Afikeyam?
No, in that packet of the Afikeyam, on the third page, is a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. Here, if you don't have one, please pass it around. If you don't
I think
have
everyone
one.
Had it.
Yeah. Look at the Gemara Sanhedrin, Rabbi Isai, pay attention. Amar Rava, as opposed to usually. Amar Rava, Kofsoi, I tie a guy up. Umeis Barov, he dies of starvation. You a murderer or not?
Yeah.
Kofsoi, Umeis Barov, are you a murderer or not?
Yeah.
Potter, no. Sanhedrin, third page of that Afikeyam little supplement. Kavsa umeiz barav your putter. Why? So Rashi tells you, the bishash a kavsa ain't kandava hariga. When you tied him up, the method of death wasn't there yet. Varav bameyelov. The starvation comes afterwards by itself.
Isn't it caused by the fact that he's tied up?
Indeed. But did I kill him?
You caused him to die.
Oh, pay attention.
Same thing as you lighting a fire after you tied him up.
Oh, my rubber. Cups of Bahama. I tie a guy up in the sun in the desert in Arizona. Kafsa Bachama, Umeis, Bitsina, in the cold, the Antarctica, whatever, Umeis, Chayiv, then you're Chayiv. But if it's Saif Chamalobai, I tied him up in the nighttime in the desert, the sun is only going to come tomorrow. Saif Tzina Lovai, or I tied him up during the day, I don't know, somewhere up north, when the night comes, it'll get cold, Potter. Daniel Potter. V'yomar Rava, Kofsa Lefnei Ari, you tie him up in front of a lion, Potter. Why? That's because even if you didn't tie him up, he would be dead. The guy's in front of a lion, he's dead. Lefnei Yatushin, in front of little bugs, Chayev. Rav Ashi Yomar, Fil Lefnei Yatushin, Nami Potter, even in front of little bugs, also Potter.
What are little bugs? Why are they dangerous?
I don't know. I guess he's going to get stung to death or something. Hani Azavigani also, because different bugs are keep coming. It's not the same bug that's killing him the whole time. So the item is not there at the time.
You're saying the guy was in front of a lion and then you tied him up? And you're saying the reason why he's putter is because he would have been dead anyway?
Yeah.
Like, why? Because
he didn't die because I tied him up.
He could have run away.
He could have run away.
Obviously not.
What about the guy tying?
Look at the next Gemara. Next page, right there. Next column. Side. Look on the left. Omar Papash. Zarat Tzro Lamala. I throw a stone up in the air. Mamasha Tippish. Throws a stone up in the air. Vahochalit Stodin. It goes to the side. Viharga. And kills somebody. Lands on somebody's head. Chayev. Then you're Chayev. Let's say it goes straight up. And straight down. Chayv or Potter?
Potter.
Potter.
The guy walked into the way.
No, the guy could have been guy standing there the whole time.
You're Potter.
What do you see
there?
You're Potter.
Look at Rashi. Doesn't come right down. I got part of the column got cut off. It goes far away. Aval, next line. If it falls right here, Viharga Potter. You didn't do it. Rabbis, I ask you the following question. All the Rishonim asked this question on this Gemara. Why is this different than tying up the Eved and lighting a fire? Here, I tied the guy up. The sun is about to come. The cold is about to come. I throw it up in the air. We know whatever goes up must come down. It's going to come down and kill the guy. So just because I threw it up and then it came back down, why should I be potter? Why is that different than tying up the Eved over here and lighting a fire and it goes and it kills him? Yeah.
Except for the rock case, I guess that's what I was going to say. You have to actually do an action. You're physically lighting the fire. So you're
throwing up the rock?
No, that's what I'm saying.
I tied the guy up. That's not good enough for you?
No, but in the other two the sun and the cold, it would just, you're not actually the thing that killed him. You just aided
in
his death. But the sun and the cold is what actually.
Turn the page, it's Kudushay Aran, yeah.
You notice something that result?
Yes.
What's the difference between this and the Shabbos cases? You start something before Shabbos.
Good! I'm getting there. Excellent. We're getting there. We need to understand though. We need background. Look at the Ran. The Ran asked this. Tysus and Sanhedrin also asked this. We'll get to Tysus and Sanhedrin 1 second. The Ran asks this. Mashma writes the Ran. The other lesacha sheinu b'kayach shaloi klal shu poter. He's talking about you throw the rock up in the air. Hochel it stod in his chayit. Let's say come straight down, you'd be poter. V'hukshu al zeh. They ask on this. V'omru de lama lo yehei chayit. Why should he not be chayit? Skip a few lines. He's talking about a Gemara Bava Kama we didn't see. But then he says, right in the middle of the line, two lines. V'lama loisihye ha'aliyah hazois k'mad l'ka'esh b'sadeh, like someone who lit a fire in someone else's field. V'achar kach bo ruach metzuya, and then a wind comes, the chayiv. That is chayiv. L'man d'yomer d'esha mishum chitzav. Here you should be a murderer. If esha mishum m'maynai, of power that I harness like fire to do my bidding, that's like your shor, or an animal, I understand why you're not a murderer. You're not a murderer in Bava Kama. You're not a murderer here. But if you hold the Isha Mishum Chitzav, which is how we paskin, that my fire is like my bullet out of my gun. So then how come when I tie, if I light, I tie the guy up and I light a fire, the Gemara says, you're a murderer. How come over here, I tie the guy up, the sun is going to come, this is going to come, I throw the rock up, it's going to come back down. All of these things I'm part of. And that's how we hold. Even though the fire doesn't move because of your power, since you lit the fire in a place where there is a ruach, we view it as if you did everything. Now skip a few lines. Vitir tubazer, right after the period. He gets involved in a very philosophical machloikis about gravity. Vitir tubazer. The ein chiv nezikin, nezikin, el bekayach ubepayel. Nezikin only applies by something that is a kayach and something that does actions. Lo bamasha nase. He says there are things that are actions and things that just happen. It's a deep philosophy. But he understood gravity not as a force, but as something that just happens. Things fall down. Not because there's anything pulling them towards the ground. That's just the way that they go. Which is not illogical if you think about this before gravity was explained. That is because the power of the bigger the mass, everything that has mass has a pull of gravity. Everyone knows that's how gravity works, right? And gravity comes because the world is so much mass that it pulls things towards it. So this opinion tells us didn't view gravity as a koyach, as something that's a power in the world. Wind is a power, is a force. So if I harness a force to do my bidding, then I'm chayev. I light a fire and I harness the wind to do my bidding to continue the fire moving towards your house, that relates to me. But if I throw something up in the air and gravity pulls it back down, that's not a force that can be harnessed, so then that doesn't relate to you.
So with the rock, you're not chayev because the person walking by should have known, or because...
Nah.
Because there's no...
Because things come down.
Wait a minute, you should have known.
Because things come down, that's why it's not your fault?
Huh?
Because when you throw something up, it comes down. It's not your fault.
That's what he says. Coming down is not a power you can harness. It doesn't. It's not a force.
Even though throwing up is a power you can harness.
Yeah, that's your action.
I don't see how they're anything.
Then I harness gravity to come down and kill somebody.
So that's not your fault.
He claims that that's not a force you're harnessing like wind. So we happen to know that they're both forces in the world. But that's the one opinion that the Ron quotes.
The one with the fire, you didn't harness the wind.
Huh?
With the fire and the wind, you didn't harness the wind, though.
You did. I lit a fire in a place where I knew wind blows. That's like harnessing the wind to do my bidding.
When I throw something up.
Gravity's not a force, he claims. It's not a power.
Even though I know it's coming back down.
Even though you know it's coming back down. That just happens. It's interesting. Pre-Newtonian philosophy. It's interesting. Yeah.
So if I'm putting my air conditioning in and it falls out of the window.
That's an accident.
If I push it out the window.
Well, you're an other mamazik.
So that's
oh, what would the Ron say about what would this opinion say? I don't know. It's a good question. I would assume he would say that's yours because it came from your force. But the gravity here, when this item comes down, didn't come down because of you. You threw it up. Your vector is going up. This is coming down. You didn't do that. That just happens. That just happens, right? If you throw the air conditioner up and then it would come down and kill somebody, you'd be right. But therefore, it would have to come up and straight down. If it goes out to the side, you also have a vector, meaning you also participate. Has to come exactly here. Then only gravity killed him. Okay. Then the Ron disagrees. We don't have to read the whole part. He disagrees. He thinks gravity is a force. But then he says the following. Lefichach ani omer. Next column. Seven lines down. A big yesoi. Lefichach ani omer. She'ein lidmois. Nizkei mamon l'ratzeach. No. This whole idea of ishum ishum chitzav. That's in Baba Kama. Don't bring that up here. That does not apply here. It's not the same. The Torah has many kulas. If you kill b'shegeg, you're different. If you kill b'ainis, you kill b'ratzon. Everything is different. If you harness a power to do your bidding, you're never chayv. You're not a ratzach ever. What? We read that Gemara about the Gemara that you lit the fire and it went and it killed the Gedi. It went and killed the Eved. You skimlay with the Ramine. So the Ron will reread that Gemara. Doesn't mean what it says. You could get out of that Gemara. What it means is that you're not chayv the Shloshim Shaleved. Shloshim Shaleved is only if your animal kills him, not if you killed him. But you're not a roitzeach. In order to be chayv for murder, Isham Isham Chitzov is not good enough. There's no Isham Isham Chitzov when it comes to murder. Isham Isham Chitzov is only by Nezikin. You see that in the Ron? The Ron says it doesn't apply to murder. Otherwise, you have a problem. I tie the guy up, the sun is going to come. I tie the guy up, the cold is going to come. I tie the guy up, I throw something up, it comes back down. Gravity is a force. Why is that different than if I light a fire and it goes and it burns down the house? Says the Ron, this whole idea of harnessing another power does not apply to Ritzicha, it is only by Nezikin. That Gemara and Baba Kama said that there's Kimlay, but the Ramanate will get out, or have to get out of that Gemara.
How are you responsible for murder then?
You can't be. If you kill somebody with a Kayak Acher, I kill somebody by harnessing another power, there's no Rotseya.
So Rotseya would be you have to do yourself.
You have to do it yourself. Yes. Not if you harness another power in the world to do your bidding, like gravity. Or you harness, and probably in American law, you drive, if you throw something straight up and comes back down, probably be called a murderer. But in, according to the Ron claims that you would not be. Tysus, though, in Sanhedrin, turn back the page in his little mini packet over here. Tysus in Sanhedrin asks the same question, but gives a different answer. There's a Tysus on the first column, David Maskil Sof. It's a huge Tysus. We're not going to see it, though. Don't get scared. Huge Tysus. Ask this Kasha. This is his whole Kasha. You see, he quotes the Gemara of a Kamachor, Bezim and Aleph. What happened over here? Isham Isham Chitzav. I tied the guy up where the sun is. Sun is going to come. The cold is going to come. All these things are going to come. Why then is that not harnessing a power to do my bidding? He says three lines from the bottom of Tysus Devi Masel Sof. Oid Yesh Lefaresh. The Bechol Hani the Soif Chama Betzina Va'ari Lavoi. All of these cases where these things are going to come. Or Zarak Srola Malav and Ophel Esachas, or you throw it straight up and it comes straight down. Afilu Kofsa, even if I tie the guy right there, Vevio Sham Potter, your Potter. Three lines from the bottom of Tosfos Devar Masel Sof. Right in the middle, towards the beginning of the line is Oid Yesh Lefarish. He says all these cases of things that are going to come are not the same as Eish. Vevio Sham Potter, the Dami Lekoyach Koychoy. That's not your action. If there's a wind that happens to come but is not normal to come, that's also not your action. Meaning what Tysus, the way Tysus is understood is the following. Tysus understands that if you harness the power to do your bidding, you could be a roitzeach. The reason why you're not chayav here is because the koyach acher doesn't take over right away. When I light the fire, you see, the fire keeps going right away. I light the fire and it keeps going. Here, I tie the guy up. What happens now? Nothing happens now. Nothing happens now. The sun is going to come. The cold is going to come. This is not my action. It's not like I do an action. The other power in the world takes over to do my bidding. I light a fire. The wind comes, boom, takes it into your field. That's my action. I'm a Ritzeach. I could be Chayv for Nezikin. It's like I did it on my Mazik. If I did it like that, I'd be a Ritzeach. That's like a guy who ties him up in the sun. If you tie him up while the sun is right there, that's your action. You harness the sun to do your bidding. But if I tie him up in a place where the sun will come, the cold will come, that's not your action. That's not your action. The Ron says, no, this whole discussion doesn't relate to Ritzicha. Ritzicha, you have to do the action yourself. It's not good enough that you harness a koyach acher. No, in order to be a Ritzicha, you must do it yourself. You can't harness the power in the world to do your bidding. Okay, so the Gemara has, what I wanted to derive is the following, and now we'll understand the Machlokas, the Rambam, and the Ramban.
According to the Ron, would shooting even be an other power?
That's, you're not harnessing a power. That's your action. That's your action. That's like I throw an arrow at you. That's your action. I use a simple machine to do it, but you're not harnessing another power to do your bidding. Here, by the fire, you're harnessing a natural force. Gravity, you're harnessing a natural force. The Tosfos says, yes, but the natural force has to take over right away. What happens when I throw the item straight up in the air? When does gravity begin to act on the item?
Immediately.
We know it's immediate. But it only starts coming down afterwards. So it's not directly with the end of my action that starts coming down after. There's a break in time. So too, if I tie a guy up and the sun is going to come, the cold is going to come, the koyach acher, that's force that I'm harnessing in order to kill this guy, doesn't take over right away.
So intentions don't matter even if you know it's going
to
come?
Yeah, it has to happen right away. Because if I do something, the wind takes over and continues it, that's mine. That's me. That's the fire. But if it doesn't start taking over right away, there's a break, pause, like, you know, time out. Then it takes over, that's not my action. I didn't harness a force in the world to do my bidding. It was a time lag. That's what Tosa says. Duran says, no, this whole discussion of harnessing other forces does not apply to murder. Yes, Nezikin, it's relevant, not to murder. So Rabbi said, the question that's before us, the question of the Rambam and the Ramban is, what about in Shabbos? Let's say I harness a natural power, a force in the world in order to do my bidding. I do a malach on Shabbos by harnessing a natural force. Isha mishum chitzav. Does that apply to Shabbos? Duran said it doesn't apply to Ritzicha. Tosa says it does apply to Ritzicha. The only reason why you're not chayiv if you tie him up in the sun or you tie him up in the cold is because it didn't take over right away. What about in Shabbos? If I harness a natural force to do my bidding, are you chayiv or not? Does it apply to Shabbos? So that could be the machlokes here between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban holds, if you harness a force, you harness this animal, literally harness the animal, to do your bidding, that's koyach acher. You're harnessing a natural force to do your bidding, that's isha mishum chitzav. Of course you're chayiv. That's your maisa. The Rambam holds, no, if you involve an animal and you're doing your malacha, that's isha mishum chitzav. You're harnessing a force in order to do your bidding. Maybe it doesn't apply to Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos might be like Resicha. In order to be chayiv, you have to do the action yourself. The Chumash says, Lo sase kol melacha. You shouldn't do melacha. You have to do it. If you didn't do it, the animal does it, you're not chayiv. Ah, you harness the animal? That's like harnessing a fire to go and burn the guy's house down. That doesn't apply to Hilchos Shabbos. Maybe in Hilchos Shabbos, you have to do it yourself.
Isn't there a lapse in time between when you light the fire and when the wind starts blowing, though?
No, the wind has to start blowing right away. If the wind doesn't start blowing right away and the fire doesn't start moving, then it's not, you're not chayiv.
So there'll just be a fire and then 20 minutes later...
No, that's not you. It has to take over right away.
In this case, the wind's already blowing.
Wind's already blowing. That's what Tosa said. The wind is blowing already. If it's a real she'ena mitzuya, that's what Tosa and Sanhedrin said. A real she'ena mitzuya doesn't normally come. Woo, and then a wind comes, then you're not chayiv. So that's the two deyos about ish mishum chitzu by Ritzicha. The Ran says doesn't apply, Tosa says does apply, just has to take over right away. That's the difference over there. What about by Shabbos? Does ish mishum chitzu apply in Shabbos or not? That could be the Malkokas, the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam applies, and the Rambam holds it does not apply, and therefore you need Xeris HaKosef to teach you if you do a malacha with an animal that you're chayiv, and the Ramban holds it does apply. Yes. Yeah.
But what happens, say you put a timer that triggered a gun?
Now we gotta get to that. This is all relates. Why does anybody care about this topic? Because this is all, first of all, it's Torah. But this all relates to the Shabbos clocks issue. I harness a force, a Shabbos clock, in order to do my bidding on Shabbos.
How does it work? I don't
know. It's a clock that turns on your light.
Okay.
Not that complicated. It's a timer. It's a timer. For those of us who are not Haimish, it's a timer. Shabbos clock is a timer. They sell them
all.
Yes. You have a timer.
Shabbos clock.
Not the new Shabbos clock that has a funny alarm. No, not that. The one that turns on lights. So I did something. You say, whoa! What I did. I'm not turning on the light. I'm setting up a system by which the light is going to turn on. Yes, but you are... So if you set up a timer, Erev Shabbos, that's not included in this. No, you set it up on Erev Shabbos. Even if it's your Maisa, even if it does relate to you, when did you do it? Friday. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, can you set a Shabbos clock to turn on a light on Shabbos? On Shabbos. So the first rule of Shabbos clocks is status quo. You can always keep the status quo. You want to keep status quo, that's fine. If the light is on, you want to keep it on, you can keep it on. The light is off, you want to keep it off, you can keep it off. There's no malacha in status quo. We discussed a few times. You have to do something. Something has to change for the malacha Shabbos. It just remains the same. Like the elevator was going to go up and down with or without me, there's no malacha on Shabbos. Has to be something changes. But let's say I set up a system Friday. We discussed that already, Shabbos. Here, I do it on Shabbos. I realized I didn't have a light at the, on Shabbos, and I want a light to turn on, so I put a Shabbos clock to turn on the light. Is that a malacha d'oraisa of turning on the light or not?
That's the rabbanon.
Why?
Because of the well, according to Tosfos, because of the delay.
Because
there is delay.
So it should have been memasha. Whether even if you hold Isha Mishum Chitzav applies to Shabbos, that could be the machlokas the Rambam and the Ramban. If you hold like the Rambam, Isha Mishum Chitzav, I harness a force to do my bidding, does not constitute a malacha. No, that's nothing. That applies in Ezekin. Might apply in Ritzicha. Doesn't apply in Shabbos, says the Rambam. So if you do a malacha with an animal, that's not called you plowing. I need Xeris HaKosov to teach me that if I do malacha together with an animal, I'm chayiv. Sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it's but it's Xeris HaKosov. The Ramban holds, no, that itself is a malacha. You are doing the malacha. How do you see that I can harness a force to do my bidding? That's a malacha. That's Isha, Misha Mechitza. Same thing in Ezekiel. It's like, you did it. It might even be a Ritzeach. If I harness the sun to kill this guy, it's a Ritzeach. So too, if I harness this animal to do a malacha, it's a Ritzeach.
Would this
Shabbos clock, though. So Batosa said, that only implies if the Karech Acher begins with the end of my action. I stop what I'm doing. Here comes the sun. Here comes the fire. Starts right away. Here, though, with the Shabbos clock, perhaps there's a time lag. So that should be like Seif Chamalavoy, Seif Tzinalavoy, or like the gravity that takes over afterwards. Even if you hold the Isha Mishum Chitzav applies to Shabbos, applies to Ritzicha, which itself is a big machlekes, places in the Ran, about Ritzicha, the Rambam and the Ramban, about Shabbos, but perhaps over here there's a time lag. And Tosfos said, Isha Mishum Chitzav never applies if it takes time for the fire to get going. It only applies if the fire takes over right away. One second. However, it could be, and this is the machlokas with regards to Shabbos, so I think many would hold like what you said, Igon, that this is not Isha Mishum Chitzav, this is a grumma. You caused something to happen, but it didn't take over right away. So this is not Isha Mishum Chitzav, it's not your action, this is like a grumma. I caused it to happen. So it only should be Asa Midrabanan. Grumma on Shabbos is Asa Midrabanan, but it should only be Asa Midrabanan. However, some argue, that Rav Shekhar argues like this, that the Shabbos clock is not, since the Shabbos clock takes over right away, let's say you have a Shabbos clock, that's a Shabbos morning, I realize I want the lights on. So I put a peg into the Shabbos clock. So what happens? The little peg starts moving and moving and moving and moving and moving until it hits D-Day. And then the light turns on. So is that like the fire that continues to go and to go and to go? The Shabbos clock is not something different and distinct from the light. That itself is the light. So it's like it starts going and going and going, like I turned on the light, and that took over right away at the end of my action.
What do you mean it's not different from the light?
Meaning, if the Shabbos clock is something separate from the light, so then I put the peg in, when does the light turn on? 2 hours later, that's like Seif Chamalova, Seif Tzinalova. The Karech Acher doesn't take over right away after me. Meaning, if I light a fire, the fire begins and it starts moving right away. Right? I put a cake into the oven. The oven starts taking the cake and starts baking it right away. I harnessed. It's like doing malacha with an oven. I put something in the ground that starts growing right away. At least the process begins. Here, I put a peg into the Shabbos clock. What happens right away? No malacha. Nothing happens right away. So that's why some would say putting a peg into a Shabbos clock is grumma. That's what I would think. Rav Shechter argues that no, the Shabbos clock is itself part of the light. So it's like the light is starting to turn on. It's starting. Oh, now it comes on. The Shabbos clock is not something distinct from the light. It's part of the light. So it's like the Karech Acher began when I put the peg in, and then boom, it turns on when the light turns on. It's hard. It's a hard argument, because when you put the peg in, no malacha is happening. You would think the malacha has to start happening with the end of your ma'aseh. Like I put a cake into the oven, it starts baking right away. I put a seed into the ground, it starts growing right away. I light a fire, it starts burning right away. Shechter argues this is like the light is turning on already. It just takes a while. Revving up. So then maybe putting a peg into a Shabbos clock would be a malacha d'oraisa. What malacha d'oraisa? Isha Mishum Chitzav. You harness the power to do a malacha for you, like this Ramban. That's the Ramban understands Harisha v'Behema. And others would argue that no, maybe Isha Mishum Chitzav doesn't apply on Shabbos at all. Or maybe even if it does, Tosfos said the malacha has to start happening right away. The reticha has to start happening right away. Here, the light doesn't turn on right away. So that's not called like you harness the power to do your malacha. The malacha has to take over right away. Here, it's not taking over right away. So there's a good argument to be made that putting a peg into a Shabbos clock perhaps is only grumma, but it's not really a malacha d'oraisa. Yes.
Doesn't the actual process of light turning on instantly, no?
Yes. But does that start happening at the end of my action? I put the peg in. Does the light start turning on?
No.
I would argue no. So that's
grama. You're delaying that.
That's grama. The Mishnah says, let's have a fire that's coming. Fire is coming, fire is coming, fire is coming. And I put, they do this in California. No, people from California, they put water walls. Don't they? What do they call it? Anyway, they put jugs of water to block the fire. They protect homes by getting everything wet around it. So I put in front of the fire, I put jugs of water. So I'm putting out the fire. But I'm not doing, I put the wall of water over here, the fire is coming, fire is coming, fire is coming. So the Gemara says, that's grama. I'm not putting out the fire. I'm setting up a system by which the fire is going to get put out. Yeah, but the fire doesn't begin to get put out with the end of my action. My action is over here. The fire is coming over here. So, too, I put the peg in the Shabbos clock over here. That's like putting a wall of water over here. Comes, 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 comes. Boom! Then it turns on. That's like putting a wall of water in front of the fire. That's what I would have said. Rav Shechter argues that, no, that's like the light is turning on. And then it turns on.
Wondering, like,
what's
that
even
worse? Like,
huh?
Was that also bad?
So then that would be malacha d'oraisa if you put a peg into the Shabbos clock. Because that's like you harness the natural force to do your malacha, which takes over right away. That's the Shabbos clock. No, to do it on Shabbos. On Shabbos morning. If you do it Friday, you do it Friday, that starts, you set it up on Friday. How can you ask for people doing things on Friday? This is if you do it Shabbos morning. Is it grama or is it malacha d'oraisa? So that would
most people
might depend on this issue.
Never.
Yeah, you can't. The question is it asa midrabanan or is it a malacha d'oraisa?
Can or cannot?
Cannot.
You can't, I didn't extend
status quo you can always do. You can never have a malacha d'oraisa.
What you're doing?
No, I want the light to turn on.
Sooner.
Or at all. That's what we're talking about. Alright.
Alright,
Rabbi.